I would have thought you'd find this easy enough to accept. According to you, a wolf wouldn't want a latent for a mate unless he had no choice in the matter.
That's true,
Lance said with a snicker. I don't even know why Roscoe wants you, why anyone would. A second later, he was pressed against the wall with Trey's hand around his neck.
It's almost as though you want me to rip your throat out, he growled, fighting his wolf from surfacing and doing just that.
He hadn't wanted there to be any violence, but Taryn had been right. Although they weren't true mates and this whole thing was to be temporary, his wolf wasn't hung up on those details, wasn't held back by them. His wolf was an elemental being who acted mostly on instinct, and since he'd marked Taryn Warner, his wolf regarded her as his. His to protect, to comfort, to shelter, to possess. And Trey agreed. This whole thing hit too close to home, making Trey think of his own father. His dad had been pretty attentive and protective, right up until the seer within the pack, when Trey was just 5, had told Rick Coleman that Trey would one day usurp his position as Alpha. After that, his father had pretty much disowned him and left his care to his maternal grandmother. When he wasn't busy taunting him or using him as a punching bag, his mom had tried to fix the divide between them, but she was too much of a submissive wolf to have had any influence on his father.
Get the hell off me!
But I'm comfortable here.
Watching Lance try to glance around, Trey smiled.
No one's going to help you. Unlike you, they know better than to try to get between mates. Says a lot about you as an alpha if no one is willing to offer their life for yours.
She's my daughter!
And she's my mate. She's mine. No one keeps her from me. No one insults her. And no one, and I mean no one, talks to her the way you just did. Understand me?
Just tell me what it is you really want,
snarled Lance.
You just that desperate for a pack healer that you'd tie yourself to a latent?
Tightening his hold on Lance's throat, Trey smacked his opponent's head against the wall.
Didn't I just tell you no one insults my mate? Not very bright, are you?
He gave Taryn a baffled look.
You sure you two are related?
She shrugged one shoulder delicately. I do look a lot like the maintenance guy. Going to stand beside Trey, she cocked her head at Lance. I don't know what your problem is, Daddy dearest. You can't stand the sight of me. You should be pleased that I'm leaving the pack. Oh, and you should also stop insulting me if you expect Trey to release you anytime soon. Lance stared at her with a disbelieving look on his red-purple face.
You honestly believe he isn't playing some kind of game? He's using you, Taryn. When you realize that for yourself, don't think you'll be welcome back in my pack.
She gave him a sad smile. I stopped being welcome the day you realized I was latent. But then, you always were an ass, weren't you?
Is that what this is? Revenge? You know how bad I want that alliance.
Trey snickered.
What, an alliance with me wouldn't mean anything to you?
Lance's gaze shot to Trey. It was obvious he hadn't thought of it that way, and she could almost see the wheels turning in his head. She released a bored sigh. Trey, just leave him. But Trey didn't. He seemed to be having too much fun watching her dad struggle to breathe.
Come on! He's a waste of skin and fur.
After a deep, calming breath, Trey ever so slowly released Lance and stepped back.
This is what the situation is, Warner. Taryn is my mate. She is now part of my pack, and Roscoe Weston will not touch her ever again. If he has any kind of issue with that, he is free to come to my territory. I'll be waiting.
He held his hand out to Taryn.
Come on, baby.
Shooting her dad a withering look, Taryn took Trey's hand and he pulled her against him. His warmth seeped into her body and calmed her wolf even despite the tension. As she looked at Shia and Caleb and saw the concern and horror on their faces, she felt a stab of guilt.
It's this or being Roscoe's little sex slave, a voice in her head reminded her.
Mouthing bye at Shia and Caleb, she allowed Trey to lead her out of the club.
Chapter 4.
After a 25-minute journey, Dante turned the hulking 7-seater Toyota Highlander into a wooded area. Lance Warner's pack territory was a ranch that spanned 6 acres of land, on which sat a main house where he, his beta, his bodyguard, and his enforcers lived. Surrounding the main house were several converted barns for the other pack mates. Phoenix pack territory was nothing like that. For a start, it had a perimeter fence with an access gate.
We didn't bother having security on the gate until those human groups that call us abominations formed. They like to stand outside pack houses with their Die Demons banners, Trey explained. Only pack is granted admittance. Or guests by invitation. It's guarded 24 hours.
He waved to the shifter on duty, who strolled out of a little security shack and approached the Toyota.
You remember this wolf, right? Trey asked her. Ryan's one of the pack's enforcers.
Taryn smiled at the apparently not very talkative Ryan, or Grumpy, as she had branded him a few days ago, who was eyeing her curiously. He made her think of one of those bionic soldiers in sci-fi movies. His movements were a little robotic, and he had a real Terminator snarl going on. A guy who wouldn't hesitate to kill if the need arose, she deduced. Still, she didn't feel intimidated. In fact, she was determined to see that impassive expression falter. Are you miserable by choice? As she'd hoped, he was so taken aback that his guard dropped for a split second, his dark eyes widened and his lips twitched. It's fine and everything. I was just curious about whether you were born looking like you were sucking on a lemon or if the whole gloomy attitude is a lifestyle choice. When Ryan's lips curved the tiniest bit at one corner, Trey gaped inwardly. For the mostly mute and antisocial Ryan, that was a gushing reception.
Everything went as planned with the claiming,
he said to Ryan.
I'll tell you more in the morning at breakfast.
Ryan nodded, then patted the vehicle before returning to the shack. After a short drive over a rocky trail, they finally arrived at bedrock. There was really no other word for it, was there? She found it amazing that even with light coming from some of the windows, it didn't stand out at all. Unless you were looking for it, you'd probably miss it. Who did all this?
Apparently, the ancestors of the last pack started it a long time ago. It's been added to and modernized over the years. We did a lot of improvements to it ourselves.
There are actually hotels in places like Turkey that are luxurious cave dwellings just like this,
Dante told her as he drove through an opening in the bottom of the mountain, which Taryn soon realized was actually a concealed parking lot. As she hopped out of the Toyota, she noticed Tao parking her Hyundai Tucson a few spaces away. His sulky expression as he got out of the car was the same one he had worn when Trey ordered him to drive it here for her. I need to get my bag out of the trunk, she told Trey as she took a step toward her car.
Tao will get it.
The head enforcer froze, and a muscle ticked in his jaw. Begrudgingly, he retrieved her bag, and Taryn couldn't help smirking at his petulant behavior. The ass shook his head when she went to take the bag from him and stormed past her, following behind Trey and Dante as they strolled out of the opening they had just driven through. Smiley gestured for her to go before him and Burly. Sighing, she removed her high heels and headed for bedrock. The night was dark, cool, and silent. The earthy smell, the little sounds of small animals, the wonderful night breeze, the rustling of the tree branches, all of it called to her wolf. She wanted to explore this new woodland, wanted to find out what those unfamiliar scents and sounds were around her. Instead, Taryn was hiking up several narrow flights of steps that had been carved into the mountain wall. They came to a large door that appeared to be at the center of the other entrances. Then they were going through an indoor maze of tunnels that took them deep into the mountain. Taryn was pretty sure she would get lost if left to wander anywhere alone. Eventually, they came to a black door that led to the same kitchen she had sat in only a few days ago. Realizing that she had pretty much been dismissed as unimportant right now, Taryn hopped into the black marble counter and grabbed herself a peach from the fruit bowl. Munching happily on it, she listened as all 5 male wolves sat around the table discussing strategies for when Trey's uncle made his challenge. They were so cool about it that anyone would think they were referring to an Xbox game or something, as opposed to an actual life-and-death situation. There was even a kind of childlike excitement there. Rolling her eyes, she dug out her cell phone from her purse and read the dozens of text messages she had received from members of the pack. All were asking if the rumor that she had mated Trey Coleman was true. Shia and Caleb had sent several, both expressing concern about his reputation and trying to convince her that she was wrong about him being her true mate. She knew she would have to respond to them soon, but right now she was feeling too raw. Aware that all had suddenly gone quiet, she looked up from her cell to find several pairs of eyes focused on her. Surprised, she pulled her finger from her mouth, having sucked off the peach juice.
What?
Trey cleared his throat.
Nothing.
Not liking even the thought of the other males ogling her, he shot them all a cautioning look. Of course, he couldn't blame them. She was so damn sensual and so damn unaware of it.
By the way, said Dante, grinning from ear to ear, welcome to the pack, Taryn.
She snorted.
You might not be saying that when Roscoe appears on your territory. Are you kidding? We're looking forward to it. Yeah, we have to thank you for bringing a bit of life to things around here,
agreed Smiley, or Marcus, as he had introduced himself on the drive here, as he leaned back in his chair. Although he didn't seem any more accepting of her than the others did, he wasn't as antisocial toward her as they were.
You have to understand, Taryn, said Dante. We don't get a lot of challenges. This is the most excitement our pack has had in a while.
Why were your dad's enforcers following you around? Asked Trey.
When Roscoe came to visit, I wasn't very nice, and they considered me a flight risk. The mating ceremony was supposed to take place in a few days.
Do you think Lance will keep fighting this? Asked Burley.
Taryn remembered his name was Patrick, or Trick, for short. Trey shook his head.
He might be pissed off and wish things had happened differently, but it's like Taryn said. He'll be worried I'll defeat him and make him look weak to the rest of his pack. He recognized that my wolf was more dominant than his.
And the Alliance, do you think we have any chance of getting it?
Trey looked at her.
What do you think?
I'd say yes, she said. I saw the look on his face when you asked if an alliance with you wouldn't have meant anything to him. It gave him something to think about. Dante tilted his head at her.
He'll switch loyalties that easily from Roscoe to Trey?
As long as he gets an alliance with a powerful alpha out of this, he'll be content. Give it a few weeks for him to finish sulking and he'll make contact, wanting us to meet up. I'll put money on it.
You're that confident?
He's that fickle.
Well, we'll know for sure on Sunday, said Trey. If he comes along with Roscoe, he's stating that he allies himself with him, no matter the outcome.
Do you think Roscoe will come as soon as he realizes you've made a Taryn?
Asked Dante.
Yep. What time's he due to arrive on Sunday?
Trey asked her. Early in the morning.
Greta's not due back till after lunch. She'll be disappointed she missed the confrontation.
Actually, she called earlier to say she'd be arriving in the morning,
Trick informed him. Greta? Taryn was glad that none of the possessiveness and jealousy leaked into her voice. Her wolf snapped to alertness, wondering at the mystery female.
Grandmother, explained Trey.
Taryn didn't like the way he was grinning. It said he was aware of her wolf's immediate response to him saying another female's name with such familiarity. She shot him what she knew was a petulant scowl. He laughed silently.
She doesn't go out much, said Dante. But occasionally she goes to stay with her sister, who made it into another pack. I think she might be hoping to try to secure an alliance between that pack and ours. It could have been done a long time ago, but Trey was never interested in making them until now.
Does the alpha of that pack have many alliances?
Not really, but it would be more than what we have now.
Then I guess it's a good thing my dad's so fickle. Sighing, she slid smoothly off the countertop. Where's my bag?
Trey's room.
Tao told her, his tone unwelcoming.
It's the same room you woke up in last time you were here.
Dante gestured with his hands as he spoke.
Just take a left at the end of this tunnel. You then need to take your second left after that, then go straight until you come to a junction and take a right.
When her eyes flicked to his, Trey thought he might have seen hesitation there.
Go anywhere else and I'll just hunt you down and drag you to bed.
She rolled her eyes. Easy there, Flintstone.
Flintstone?
If you're alpha of a place like this, you're Fred Flintstone. I have no intention of hiding from you. You're mistaking me for one of your submissive Janes. That's not to say there won't be some struggling involved if you expect to get in that bed with me.
I'll be following you there in about 20 minutes. We'll let the struggling commence then. But what with your wolf riding you so hard to complete the mating, I can't see you struggling that much.
So you're a resident of La La Land. I bet you're Sultan there, too. The sound of Dante's throaty laugh followed her out of the kitchen. Damn, if Psycho Boy hadn't been right about her wolf's eagerness, though. It wasn't just that her wolf craved the feeling of his body possessing hers. The drive to consummate the claiming also had a lot to do with her wolf being anxious that the mating was incomplete. Being back inside Trey's bedroom, where his scent was overbearing, made her wolf a little less restless. But she still didn't like being separated from her male. Not while the mating was half-finished. Opening the door at the opposite side of the room, she found herself in the most amazing ensuite bathroom. She very much liked the look of the all-glass corner shower. But the masterpiece was the square, spacious bath. It was so humongous you needed to climb a few steps before you could get into it. Unfortunately, she didn't have time for a leisurely soak. So, corner shower it was. A thought struck Taryn as she entered the shower. It was well known that mates found it uncomfortable to be apart for the first few months. Would that apply to her and Trey, or would they be spared because they weren't true mates? She suspected that, in any case, things would always be more trying for her and Trey, due to both their wolves constantly reaching for the surface. If it was going to be really uncomfortable, that could prove a problem. Although she hadn't known Trey for very long, she had picked up that he wasn't a touchy-feely person. For shifters, touch was a need. It was as basic as eating and breathing. But Trey didn't seem to experience that craving, or had conditioned himself to ignore it. Yes, he had slid his hands all over her at the club, but that had been for the purpose of their true mates act. The second they were in the Toyota, he had released her, and he hadn't touched her since. He always seemed to sit apart or stand apart from the others. If this continued while they were mated, it would be damn hard for their wolves. As she stepped out of the corner shower, she wrapped a thick white towel around herself and went back into the bedroom, all the while ignoring the way her stomach was clenching at the mere thought of having Trey inside her. Not Trey as her mate, but Trey as the man who, merely by looking at her, had an overwhelming effect on her body. It was no wonder that he had always reeled in females with little effort. Not that there would be any more reeling. A split second later, she realized just how much possessiveness had been in that one thought, and she had to roll her eyes. Hearing a low growl, Taryn slowly turned her head. Trey was closing the bedroom door and staring at her with such heat in his eyes that she sucked in a breath.
"You have tattoos," he all but growled.
Trey had never really thought of tattoos as sexual, but the sight of them on Taryn's body had his cock throbbing. He couldn't decide which he liked best, the anklet or the howling wolf on her shoulder. She grinned wickedly.
"So I do."
All Trey wanted right then was to trace both with his tongue, but he doubted he'd have the self-restraint to take things nice and slow when his lust for her was like a fever in his blood. His wolf was eager to come inside her, another way to mark his mate. But both he and his wolf knew that this was about more than just consummating the claiming. Taryn needed to acknowledge, accept, and admit that she was his mate. They weren't mates of the soul or even the heart, both of which made it possible for the mating to be temporary. But she had to understand that this didn't make it any less real. They were still mates in the physical sense, which meant that she belonged to him. If he didn't make her understand and admit it, this would never work. He wouldn't have her always throwing in his face that he wasn't her true mate, implying that he didn't have any rights to her. She was his now, or at least for a short while anyway.
"Lose the towel," he ordered.
Not many people would dare to ignore an order from him, but of course Taryn did.
"Lose the towel," he repeated.
But she only smiled. Honestly, does that usually work? She could understand if it did. Hell, that implacable, uncompromising tone had very nearly worked on her. She was just so damn horny, and her wolf craved his possession. But even her wolf knew he had to prove he was worthy of her surrender.
I know you're an alpha, Taryn, but I think you might be forgetting that so am I. Believe me when I say that I will have your submission.
Unleash the beast if you want. I'll try not to laugh. I promise. His wolf stretched within him, ready and content to catch and subdue his little mate.
Don't make me chase you, baby. Don't make me have to spank that ass.
Not that that would be such a bad thing.
Come here.
Yeah, well, ordinarily I would, but it's been such a long day, and
abruptly he dived at her.
But she swiftly and skillfully dodged him and managed to place a good distance between them.
You want this, Taryn.
He grinned as her gaze zoomed in on his hands as he unsnapped the buttons of his fly. His painfully hard cock sprang out and she licked her bottom lip. He groaned, then shoved down his jeans and stepped out of them.
I can smell your arousal,
he added as he unbuttoned his shirt and had her backing up toward the bed.
If you say so.
Her aloofness might have been more convincing if her voice hadn't been so hoarse with lust. In her defense, his body was unbelievable, all muscle and sinew and power, but not in that over-the-top way with the veins popping out or anything. No, it was all sleek, smoothly shaped muscle, made all the better by that golden tan. Her wolf was growling her approval, wanting Taryn to lick a path along that golden skin from the column of his throat to the base of that thick, long cock. It wasn't such a bad idea.
I can sense how hard your wolf's riding you.
Jealous that she is and you are not? Again, he rushed at her, but again she dodged him, jumping onto the large bed and then running across it to land nimbly on the other side. His expression was castigating as he stood on the opposite side of the bed.
You are denying me what's mine. That hot little body is mine now.
You really believe that? Aw, bless your little heart. His long arm shot out and his hand snagged the end of the towel, whipping it away. Bastard. As his gaze caressed her naked body and took in all that flawless, creamy skin, Trey actually felt like he'd been pole-axed. Although she was slender, she wasn't skinny or fragile-looking. She was lithe and sinuous, with gently and perfectly curved hips, shapely, toned legs, and a gorgeous set of breasts. He'd always gone for voluptuous women, but it became clear to him now that he had seriously underestimated the appeal of small breasts. Taryn's were high, plump, and perfectly rounded, calling his name. His mouth watered as he caught sight of her completely bald pussy.
Mine.
I'm afraid not, big boy. He leaped across the bed and grabbed her arm, but she expertly twisted out of his hold and backed away.
You can keep running from me, but it won't change anything.
I belong to no one but myself.
That mark right there, my mark, says different.
I'm your mate, she allowed, but I don't belong to you or anyone else. Well, actually, if you want to get technical about it, I'm not actually your mate yet, she added with a smile.
Oh, you will be very soon, baby, once I shove my cock inside you.
He charged at her with renewed vigor, catching her just as she turned, and crammed her against the wall, her back to his chest. Taryn struggled and twisted, but his body was like a cage around her. Move, you son of a— Then abruptly, he plunged a long finger inside her, addressing that aching emptiness, and she practically liquefied against the wall, moaning.
That's it, baby. Be still for me.
He kept his thrusts shallow and leisurely, licking his claiming mark and liking her answering tremor.
Feel good?
It's all right, I guess. He had to smile.
It's all right, huh?
She cried out as he plunged another finger inside her.
You're so tight, he groaned. Tight. Hot. Wet. Mine.
Wrong.
Well, baby, while I'm finger-fucking you against this wall and you're moaning like crazy, it sure feels like I own you.
Never in a million years, asshole, she growled.
Asshole? Now you're just giving me ideas.
He withdrew his fingers and moved one to the puckered hole at the back, circling it teasingly.
One day, I'm going to fuck this gorgeous ass.
I'm curious. Do you retreat into your fantasy world often? Catching him off guard, she sharply jammed her elbow into his ribs, making him jerk back just enough for her to duck out from under his arm. Sometimes it was good to be small and slim. To her frustration, she had only gotten a few steps when a strong arm looped around her and he tackled her to the ground. Then she was flipped onto her back and Trey's mouth closed over her nipple and sucked hard.
Oh, God,
she breathed. Moaning, she cradled his head and scrunched his hair in her hands. Each tug on her nipple sent sparks of pleasure shooting to her clit, making her writhe and squirm beneath him. It was official. Trey had been mistaken to overlook small breasts. Or maybe it was just because this was his mate and he was unable to release the taut nipple. As he molded and squeezed her other breast, he groaned at how perfectly it fit in his hand. His wolf was growling, urging Trey to take her, to make sure she knew who she belonged to. Abruptly, he meshed his lips with hers, forcing his tongue inside to glide against her own.
I'm going to fuck you now, he rumbled. I'm going to fuck this body that now belongs to me. Mine, he growled, punctuating it with a bite to her lower lip.
As Taryn met his gaze, she saw hunger, anticipation and determination, and there was something else. Possessiveness.
No!
She dealt him a harsh blow to the chest, which had him jerking into an upright position. Quickly, she flipped to her stomach and was almost fully on her feet when he gripped her by the hips and yanked her down onto his lap. He growled something that sounded like, "Got you," and then impaled her on his cock. The pleasure pain of it had her back arching as she cried out. Trey groaned as her inner muscles clamped down on him.
Take all of it, Taryn,
he demanded through his teeth. He slowly lifted her until only the head of his cock was inside her and then slammed her down onto him.
All of it.
He raised her again, enjoying the feel of her juices coating his cock, and then he impaled her to the core, seating himself to the balls.
Oh, fuck yeah.
His wolf howled inside his head, loving that he was finally inside Taryn, filling her, stretching her. She was so tight and hot around him that he was close to coming already. As he gave her a moment to adjust to his invasion, he nibbled at her spine and then pulled her back against his chest so he could graze his teeth over his claiming mark.
You okay?
Okay. She was absolutely freaking amazing. The pressure of his size stretching her stung and burned, but it was a delicious pain and she was reveling in it. She gasped as he suddenly lifted her again. The movement was slow, forcing her to feel every inch of him dragging against her sensitive inner walls. Something between a moan and a whimper escaped her throat.
Shh, he soothed. Such a good girl taking all of my cock,
he praised, as he once again slowly impaled her on himself. Twice more he did it, loving her drawn-out moans and the way she squirmed restlessly.
Are you going to tell me no again?
She shook her head, moaning. This time he lifted her fully off him, then rose to his feet and propped her up on her hands and knees on the bed.
I need it hard and fast, Taryn. Can you take it?
Do it.
Good girl.
Gripping her hips, he rammed into her so hard she fell forward, so that she was resting on her elbows. That was even better. Taryn cried out as he began mercilessly pounding into her with deep, dazing strokes that were zapping her with bliss. Nothing should feel this good, she was sure of it. It had definitely never felt this good before, but she'd known it would be this way, and it had scared her. Now, though, as he tunneled in and out of her, reaching depths that had, until now, been untouched, there was no fear, only sheer and utter carnal bliss. As Trey gazed down at all that creamy skin of her back, that unmarked creamy skin, he had the urge to bend down and sink his teeth into wherever he could reach. He closed his eyes against the impulse. He wouldn't mark her again, he told himself. He'd fuck her and ensure she knew that she was his, but he wouldn't mark her again. Twice already he had marked her, when the one claim biting was all they needed. He didn't need to possessively mark her up with claws and teeth to leave his brand all over her the way his wolf wanted him to, the way Trey the man wanted to.
Do you like that? Does it feel good having my cock inside you?
Her response was a feverish moan that was a clear yes.
That's a very good thing because I'm going to be in here often, taking what's mine.
Not yours,
she growled. His next thrust was extra hard, a warning, a punishment.
Keep growling at me. Keep telling me you're not mine. I dare you.
I'm not yours.
She reached back with one arm and grazed his chest with her claws. Not enough to leave a permanent mark, just enough to caution him. She growled when she felt the slash of claws along the flesh of her lower back. These were deeper, wood mark.
Don't you dare brand me, you son of a bitch!
She gasped as a hand came down sharply on her ass. And then his hand knotted in her hair, and he dragged her up so her back was arched against his chest.
I'll mark you wherever I want,
he growled into her ear, still ruthlessly hammering into her. Abruptly, he sank his teeth into her nape, and his wolf growled his approval.
You're my mate, Taryn. Say it.
She snapped her teeth at him, missing his jaw by mere inches.
Fuck you!
Again, Trey spanked her ass hard.
Let's try that again, shall we? Whose mate are you, Taryn? Who do you belong to?
I'm your mate, but I don't belong to you.
The two can't be separated. It doesn't work that way.
Pissed off that he was right, Taryn growled her annoyance and struggled against him, but he only tightened his hold on her hair.
You're not going to get away. Not until I've pumped every ounce of my cum inside you. Now, who do you fucking belong to?
After a slight hesitation, she conceded with a snarl.
You!
That's right, baby. And just in case you're ever tempted to forget...
He yanked her head back and bit down hard into the soft flesh of her neck, where it would be visible for all to see. Just like that, even though she hated what he'd done, a wickedly powerful orgasm crashed into Taryn and she screamed her release. As her muscles closed bitingly around him, Trey exploded inside her with a loud, guttural, growl groan, marking her with his cum just as surely as he'd marked her with his teeth. Shit. He had never fucked like that, never come so damn hard. He couldn't decide if it was a good thing or a bad thing that this female could make him mindless. As she collapsed forward onto the bed, and Trey got a look at her body, he had the urge to slap himself. In addition to his claiming bite, and the one he'd given her to cover Roscoe's, there was a bite on her nape. There were claw marks on her back, his handprints on her ass, another bite on the very visible part of her neck, and claw marks on her hips, where he'd held her. The worst of it was that every single one of those brands gave him and his wolf a kind of masculine satisfaction. God damn it. Chapter 5. An overwhelming need to pee woke Taryn. The rays of moonlight peeking through the curtains had been replaced by sunlight, telling her it was early morning. Her intention to stretch was inhibited by the tanned, muscly arm and leg belonging to the wolf behind her, both of which were draped over her as if to trap her there. She smiled at that. Then her smile widened as she recalled being woken a few times in the night. Yeah, it could be said that they had engaged in a sexual marathon. Trey was insatiable and had impressive stamina, even for a shifter. Wriggling out from under his hold, she went to answer the call of nature. She found herself staring longingly at the luxurious tub. A hot bath sounded fabulous, but her rumbling stomach had other ideas. A few minutes later, she was dressed and heading through the damn network of tunnels. The familiar black door that led to the kitchen wouldn't be too hard to find. She could just follow the scents of meat and eggs and hot toasted bread. The chattering stopped as she entered and five strange faces looked at her curiously, though they didn't seem surprised to see her. Obviously, word had gotten out about Trey finally bringing her here. As simple as this moment was, it was also pivotal. Her stay here wasn't going to be a pleasant one. Being Lance Warner's daughter would be enough to make some wolves give her a hard time. It wouldn't matter that her mating with Trey might ultimately aid their cause. She was still a Warner, and there was no way any of them would want to answer to her. Also, the fact that she was latent meant that some people would regard her the same way that Brody did, as a freak of nature, an easy target. Someone who didn't even count as a shifter. They would test her patience and strength and make her stay here difficult. As such, there were a few ways she could handle her first few moments in their pack. One, she could present them with a dazzling smile and introduce herself needlessly, hoping to win them over with a friendly attitude. Two, she could act aloof, distant, and ignore any attempts to goad her. Or three, she could just be her usual ray of sarcastic fucking sunshine and tell anyone who pushed her to go eat shit. A bigger person would have gone with option two, but, well, she was a bitch. So she decided to go with number three. Look, I'm not much of a morning person because I tend to sleep through it. So if you're hoping to piss me off, then proceed with extreme caution. We'll get along just fine if you don't treat me any differently than you would a princess. With that, she nodded at the stunned faces and hopped up onto the countertop. The plump brunette, who had been pouring coffee for the others, approached her. You must be Taryn, she said, smiling. I'm Grace. I cook, clean, and say shit a lot.
Ah, someone who speaks my language.
Grace gestured at the dining table where croissants, toasted bread, bacon, scrambled eggs, baked beans, sausages, platters of cold meat, various fruits, and cereals were all laid out. The wolf over there with the glasses and the goatee, who's the epitome of geeky, that's my mate, Rhett. The Bill Clinton lookalike is Brock, a cousin of Trey's dad. The guy next to him with the spiky blonde hair and the baby face is Cam. And the unfairly gorgeous female opposite him with the unfairly great legs is Cam's mate, Lydia.
Stop mooning over my mate's legs, Grace.
Cam groused playfully before shoveling half a croissant in his mouth.
You're like a little doll,
said Lydia, smiling at Taryn. She was the only one other than Grace who had a smile for her.
No one would ever think you had such a smart, awesome mouth.
Coffee, tea, or orange juice? Grace asked, while Taryn took one of the empty plates and piled bacon, scrambled eggs, and toasted bread on it. Coffee. Plate in hand, she parked her ass back on the counter. At Grace's amused but questioning look, she shrugged. I always sit on the counter. A little quirk of mine. Grace's gaze skimmed over her, taking in the various marks of possession that decorated her flesh. Well, short of having property of Trey Coleman tattooed on your forehead, he couldn't have made it any clearer that he considers you his, could he?
Very true.
In addition to those marks that Trey had left while they consummated the claiming, there were those that he had made during the second, third, and fourth rounds that followed through the night. There was a bite at the hollow of her throat, another on her inner wrist, a third one on the swell of her breast, and also claw marks on both upper arms. And those were only the ones that weren't hidden beneath her black t-shirt, navy jeans, and black leather knee boots. And what had Trey's response been when she told him that he might have overdone it a little with the marking? A shrug, followed by a very smug grin. Maybe it would be fair to say that if she hadn't fought him so hard on the issue of belonging to him, then she wouldn't be in this state. Yeah, but that only applied to the first time. After that, she had conceded belonging to him as his mate, although she had snarled at him with every concession. He hadn't had any need to keep it up. She wondered if maybe the drive behind it had been that he had sensed that her admission was only half-hearted. Once she had belonged to someone, and when he had been taken from her, it nearly killed her, even though they had never mated. As it was, Joey had taken a chunk of her with him when he died. And that was okay, because that was his chunk to take. But she couldn't give that much of herself to another person again. Her soul wouldn't survive the loss a second time, as there wouldn't be enough of her left to allow her to live. She would simply exist, breathing in and out. And in and out, but nothing more. And this was a male she would lose. That was a sure thing. So yeah, she would belong to Trey on a physical level, but no more than that. It was actually best that way, as it meant there was no chance whatsoever that the process of imprinting would spark. Despite Trey's mark-happy behavior, he didn't want that any more than she did. It was simply in the nature of the male to want to possess his mate completely, inside and out. This male would just have to make do.
"And I thought I looked badly marked up on my claiming night," said Lydia.
"Can I, ask," began Rhett, "is it true that you're, latent?"
At her nod, he added,
"Do you still feel your wolf, or is she buried deep?"
Grace quickly interrupted. "You should know that Rhett is one of the most curious people to have ever walked the face of the earth. He's great with computers and anything technical, but he's not an expert with human emotion. It wouldn't occur to him that he might offend you by bringing it up." She shot him a reprimanding glare. Taryn shrugged. "It's fine. No, my wolf's not buried. She's very much aware and very much a pain in the ass." Rhett seemed about to ask her something else, but a sharp look from Grace had him returning his attention to his meal.
"It's going to be nice having some more female company," said Lydia. "We're way too outnumbered by the males."
Taryn arched a brow.
"There aren't many women?" "Well, there are three others, but they don't really count.
Selma and Hope are your typical walking tributes to Barbie and are both vain and bitchy. And Greta's, well, she's horrid."
"Lydia," censured Brock, "have a little respect."
The look he gave Taryn was withering. Lydia ignored him.
"She thinks she rules the place because she's the Alpha's grandmother. Likes to boss us females around. Males can't do any wrong in her eyes. She mothers Trey, Dante, and the Enforcer something awful. Calls them her boys. And, well, she doesn't like females sniffing around her boys."
"She's even worse when it comes to Trey."
Grace's smile was sympathetic.
"Scares off every female who goes near him."
"Surely she's not going to want to scare me off when Trey needs to claim I'm his mate for his super plan."
Their winces said that wouldn't be the case.
"Need a Warner? Now that's a joke."
The deep voice belonged to a male who, though nowhere near as good-looking or muscular as Trey, bore a few similarities to him. He had the same strong nose and chin, the same arctic blue eyes, the same height. Whereas Trey's dark scowl somehow looked good on him, it made this guy look creepy. She only had to look at his posture and the flash of bitterness in his eyes to know the guy had a chip on his shoulder. She had to wonder just what that chip was all about. He took a seat beside Lydia and then glared at Taryn.
"We don't need a Warner. And we don't need a Layton."
"I don't need your approval," retorted Taryn.
"So fuck off!"
That seemed to surprise him, but she wasn't under the illusion that it would shut him up. Grace sighed. She didn't appear any happier about his presence than Taryn was.
"That's Kirk, Brock's son, so he's sort of Trey's cousin," she mouthed. "And an asshole."
His nostrils flared as he looked at Taryn.
"If you think we're all going to bow down to a Warner, think again."
Taryn smiled at Grace.
"Isn't it great when just your very existence infuriates someone? You gotta love that kind of power."
The sound of very merry whistling was soon followed by Marcus and Trick's entrance. One look at the marks on her body, and that clown grin took over Marcus's face. Trick simply snickered.
"Hey, little sister,"
Trick ruffled Grace's hair,
earning himself a scowl and a smack on the shoulder. "Go. Sit. Eat. Don't bother me," she grumbled.
Chuckling, he took a seat at the table and practically attacked the plate piled with slices of cold meat.
"Here," said Grace as she handed Marcus a doggy bag. "See you later."
Marcus opened it and sighed happily.
"Is it wrong that I'd sell my soul for your cooking? If you weren't already made it, I'd snap you up."
Grace rolled her eyes, but a blush stained her cheeks. Taryn couldn't blame her. The guy was seriously hot. Hell, all the enforcers were.
"He's guarding the gate today, so he only has time to pop in and out," she explained to Taryn after he had left the room.
Taryn looked up as Dante entered and went straight to the jug of coffee. He He poured some into a Bart Simpson mug, inhaled the aroma deeply, and then took a sip. It was only then that he turned to everyone, apparently equipped to interact with others now that he had caffeine in his system. The instant he saw her, he almost choked on his drink. She would have said she didn't look that bad, but she did.
Now I know why you kept yelling at him for biting you.
At her raised brow, he explained while grinning wickedly.
As Beta, my room's next to the Alpha's. How does he look?
You'll see for yourself, won't you?
In truth, she hadn't marked Trey. Her wolf had wanted her to, had desperately tried to surface in response to Terran's resistance, but there was no chance Terran was going to encourage his wolf's sense of possessiveness by marking him back. Not when this was temporary. Also, it would be easier on her wolf when they separated if she hadn't branded him. It would be easier on Terran, too. Trey hadn't questioned her about it or urged her to mark him, so she could conclude that he was on the same wavelength. Dante took another swig of his coffee.
I said that Trey, although he's not usually possessive, would mark you up proper. The others, including Trey, thought he would be able to rein it in because you aren't true mates. I have to say that I'm kind of enjoying that I was right.
Your life is that sad?
You don't get it. Trey never marks his women. He's always teased us whenever we've gotten even the slightest bit possessive with our partners. I'm just enjoying how the tables have turned.
To be fair, said Trick, pausing in the demolishing of his cereal, it's a little different since he made it her.
Dante looked about to say something, but he was distracted by the entrance of Ryan, Dominic, Tau, and Trey. Ryan acknowledged her with a grunt, Dominic with a teeny nod, and Tau with a fierce scowl.
Yes, it is a fabulous morning, and yes, I did have an amazing sleep, thank you, she said to them sweetly.
Just for the hell of it, Trey delivered a sharp nip to her bottom lip before taking a seat at the table with the others. Inwardly, he frowned at his strange, primal urge to be close to her and touch her. Naturally, he ignored it, but his irritation remained. Trey hadn't hungered for touch for a long time, and he didn't like the idea that he might be changing. He hadn't been too pleased when he woke up to find himself alone. He'd originally hoped to taste her this morning, since oral sex had been out of the question last night, when she was battling his dominance so hard. He hadn't been able to pin her down to taste her, and he certainly hadn't been interested in risking sliding his dick between those snapping teeth. Damn if their battles for dominance hadn't been the hottest thing ever, though. Dante leaned back in his seat, smiling at Trey.
So, how come you didn't mark her?
Low laughs filled the room, but Trey just ignored them. Okay, he'd probably gone a little too far, but he simply liked the look of his mark on Terran's flesh. Once he'd gotten past his annoyance with himself for his urge to do it, he hadn't held back.
Poor girl looks like she had a fight with a vampire. Oh, and you, Terran. Damn, you can curse. What did she call you at one point, Trey? Oh, that was it. A motherfucking ass-licking son of a cock-sucking goddamn bitch.
Grace and Lydia laughed.
I'm an expressive person, she said with an innocent shrug.
I especially like the part when she threatened to slice your cock off in your sleep, if you didn't stop spanking her. So, where did she mark you?
Trey knew the question was rhetorical. Females tended to mark their males around the groin, and obviously Dante figured that was the case with Terran. Rather than correct him, he allowed him to think that. He wasn't sure why she hadn't marked him. Oh, she'd nipped him and scratched him a few times through the night, but it had only ever been in retaliation, and it was never deep enough even to draw blood, let alone mark. His wolf didn't like it, and Trey was pretty sure that her wolf wouldn't be too pleased about it either. Maybe she would mark him when the battles for dominance had eased, he mused. He didn't bother asking himself why he even gave a shit. This mating stuff fucked with the brain.
How does it feel to have a female who won't bow down to you?
Dante's grin was roguish. Trey returned the grin.
It makes life interesting.
Very interesting.
I don't know how you can fuck a Warner, snarled Kirk.
An unnerving growl filled the sudden silence, and Taryn's wolf began pacing and releasing a growl of her own as if to back up her mate. Trey's entire focus was on a fidgety Kirk.
Don't insult Taryn again.
Just like last night, the very idea of anyone insulting her made his blood boil. Keeping his head bowed, Kirk rose from his seat and stalked out of the kitchen. Brock gave Trey an apologetic smile and then followed after his son.
You're right, Taryn said to Grace, who was taking Kirk's now vacant seat. He is an asshole.
We'll be leaving here in a couple of hours to head to the meeting with the mediator, Trey told her. In the meantime, I'll be in my office. But there'll be plenty of people around if you need anything.
Yeah, all of whom are hoping I die a painful death very soon. I wouldn't have pictured you as the type to have an office.
I have investments in a number of different businesses, and I like to keep an eye on them. Feel free to wander around or whatever.
I will, once I've been for a run.
The eagerness in her voice surprised him.
You still have that need, even though you're latent?
My wolf gets restless and uncomfortable if I don't. She still craves that feeling of being free, the kind that comes from running with other wolves.
Although these wolves were only temporarily her pack, that didn't affect her wolf. Trey couldn't imagine how difficult it would be to be latent. He wasn't sure who would have gone crazy first, he or his wolf. The fact that Taryn was not only sane but also free of bitterness and hate demonstrated just how strong a person she was. As he sat sipping the remainder of his coffee, he watched her chewing on a piece of bacon. Such a simple sight, and yet he couldn't move his eyes from her. There was such an effortless sensuality to her movements. Each one was graceful, almost fluid. The way she chewed her food and licked that carnal mouth had his cock so hard he could probably hammer nails with it. Dante's eyes were helplessly glued to her, something that Trey wasn't pleased about, but couldn't blame him for. Even his enforcers seemed to begrudgingly admire her innate grace. She really was the most sensual creature he had ever seen. The fact that she was totally without vanity and completely oblivious to how provocative she was only increased the attraction. She was truly nothing like any of the women he had been with in the past.
Trey?
Definitely nothing like the female who was currently heading toward the kitchen. Once. He had fucked the woman once. And yet ever since that night, 4 years ago, Selma had acted as though she had rights to him. He'd kind of hoped that she would have moved on by now, but apparently the universe thought it would be more fun this way. An ex? Taryn was surprised at just how much the idea irked her.
For her to be an ex, there would have had to have been some kind of relationship to begin with.
In other words, she's someone you used to fuck?
I like to think of her as more of a mistake.
Trey? Is it true?
Demanded Selma, as she stomped into the kitchen with Hope at her side. Instantly, Selma's nostrils flared as she took in the other scents in the room. Her head whipped around to face Taryn. Trey watched as Taryn smiled warmly at her, but there was something dark in that smile, something that warned Selma to be very careful. Taryn cocked her head at the females. Oh, Lydia hadn't been kidding when she said that they were living tributes to Barbie, complete with peroxide blonde hair, fake tans, and an overabundance of makeup. The taller of the two lowered her eyes at the sight of Taryn, but Trey's mistake was mightily pissed. Good. Selma's focus quickly returned to him.
You mated her? You actually mated her?
Why are you surprised? I told each of you about my plan at our last pack meeting.
Yeah, but I never thought you'd really do it. She's a Warner. And I thought that you and I would mate.
Several snorts snatched Trey's attention. He watched as Dante, his enforcers, Grace and Lydia, all exchanged glances that said Selma was obviously delusional. Selma planted her hands on her hips.
Aren't you going to introduce me?
Trey held his hand out invitingly to Taryn. Smiling, she crossed the room and let him pull her onto his lap.
Taryn, Selma. Selma, Taryn.
Oh, I'm just Selma to you now?
She had only ever been just Selma to him. Of course, he had known that she was hoping he'd mate her and she would have the position of alpha female. He hadn't known that she thought she had a chance. Taryn rolled her eyes.
I suppose this is the part where you enlighten me about how you're his ex, perhaps even the love of his life, and then I'm supposed to feel insanely jealous. Sorry, but it's just too early in the morning for me to muster that kind of response. Maybe you should try again later.
Though that wasn't to say that Taryn wasn't tempted to slap her purely for having touched Trey, as idiotic as that was.
Seriously, Trey, you can't honestly have mated her. She's not even your type. I mean, she's thin and mouthy and small. Even her boobs are on the small side.
I have nice feet.
You're not his type!
You mean because I can read and write?
Selma flushed and stamped her foot.
Trey! Trey!
Finally, he spared the whining woman a glance. He'd only been half listening to the conversation, as he'd been too busy nuzzling Taryn's neck, breathing in her exotic scent. As he licked over his claiming mark, a tremor ran through her. Taryn gave him a sideways glance.
Trey, you really shouldn't do that unless you want me to jump you while we have an audience.
The ass licked it again.
Hello!
Barked Selma, waving. She was a picture of jealousy.
Oh, sorry, did you say something?
Taryn asked innocently. The ringing of Trey's cell phone cut off whatever Selma had been about to say. Seeing that the caller was Ryan, he brought himself and Taryn to their feet.
I'll be back in a minute.
With one last lick to his mark, he released her, relishing the flush on her cheeks, and left the room to take the call in private. As if Selma wasn't staring at her with utter hatred in her eyes and obviously planning her murder, Taryn leaned against the counter as she tackled her last slice of bacon.
I feel sorry for Trey being stuck with you, even if it's only for a few months. Seriously, Dante? What was he thinking? Mating a Warner?
You wouldn't have liked her no matter who she was, and we all know why.
Oh, come on, Dante. If what I've heard is right, she's latent, for God's sake.
God, the woman sounded like Brody. Taryn sighed.
You know, I really wish people would stop talking about my latency like it's the second coming of Christ.
I'm not the only latent shifter.
Selma gave her a pitying look.
You have to admit that a latent couldn't manage being an alpha female.
I suppose you would do a much better job.
Yes, I would. Even if this mating was real, it wouldn't have lasted long. Once Trey and his wolf began to realize just how weak their mate is, their interest in you would have swiftly dwindled. They'd have gone looking for a female wolf who can complement them and their strength. And when that happened, I'd have been waiting.
Trey was just ending the call when the sound of a loud crash hit his ears and had him cursing in surprise. He raced into the kitchen and stared, confounded, at the vision before him. Selma was very ungracefully splayed out on the floor, obviously having smacked her head against the wall, if the trail of blood was anything to go by. Everyone at the table had risen from their seats and stared down at her, wide-eyed. And Taryn, well, she was leaning against the counter, calmly biting into a slice of bacon as if there wasn't a woman moaning and bleeding all over the floor.
What the hell happened? He demanded.
Taryn's expression was perfectly serene when she peered up at him. She fell. The sound of muffled laughter had his attention returning to the table. Dante, Grace, Lydia, Cam, and Rhett were chuckling so hard they were shaking. Although the others were silent, none of them, not even Hope, had been able to hold back an amused grin. Taryn sighed.
I think I'll go on that run now. Grace, that breakfast was excellent.
She then made her way around a moaning Selma, pointedly ignoring her.
Close your mouth, Trey, or you'll catch flies.
Still totally bemused and also a little horny as a result of her alpha vibes pulsating around her, Trey stared after Taryn as she pranced out of the room humming a tune he didn't recognize.
Taryn's one mean bitch,
Dante said approvingly.
Trey! Look what she did to me,
whined Selma. He didn't want to.
Dante, Tao, you coming?
Both rose from the table and thanked Grace before following him out of the room.
What was all that about anyway?
Just Selma being her usual irritating self, replied Dante.
You should have seen the way Taryn picked her up and slung her at the wall. It was